Turn, if you would, to the book of John, chapter 1. The book of John, chapter 1. I'm going to begin a new series today. How many of you got to make it for some of the I Am series from the book of John? And I enjoyed that so much. Just all that Jesus did through that as I was just praying through where to go next, I just felt compelled to go back to John again. So I'm going to preach a series through the book of John. I've never preached a series through the book of John before. It's a big one. It could take 5-10 years. I don't know. I think for the men's Bible study group, we did a series through Ephesians once, and I think it took me 3 weeks to get past the first 4 words or 5 words or something. So we'll see what happens, but I'm so excited about this. As a let me speak as an underdaddy, and this is what I mean by an underdaddy. The Lord is our shepherd, right? But he's called me to be an under shepherd. That means that I serve under him to shepherd you. And from a daddy's heart, God is your father, but he's given me his heart for you, which kind of makes me an under daddy. You understand? I know. I don't know. It's a bad term, but it's my heart for you. I love you. And I'm not a hireling. I don't do what I do for money. I don't worry about what I'm going to preach being concerned that somebody may get mad and cut off the funds, because I've got other sources of funds, and ultimately God is my source. I preach to you because I love you, because God has called me to do that. And that is my heart's desire. When I look at the world that we live in today, I think about the words of the Apostle Paul when he said that in the latter times there would be all kinds of things happen. And one of the things that he said was that people would depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of demons. Seducing spirits are just those spirits that seduce you away from what you have learned, seduce you away from the true teaching of Jesus. And how many of you know that seduction can be a very powerful thing? That's one of the reasons, one of the things that the enemy uses, sexual, what was the word I just used? Seduction. I had in my mind reproduction when I said that. It's like, wait a minute. I mean, I see how I could go there, but the seduction, that's how so many people fall to that, because the enemy is good and he knows how to play to our weaknesses. He knows how to play to the things inside of us. And people fall away. And I've often thought about that years ago. Oh, how does this happen? How do so many people in the last days, there would be many people who would depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines. Let me say this: doctrines of demons. Doctrine is just teaching. The word doctrine means teaching. So, give heed to the teaching of demons, false prophets, false teachers, false doctrine. All of that from the spirit of Antichrist that is at work in the world today. How is it going to come to the point that it is in those last days? I often wondered that many years ago when there was no such thing. And I know not, some of you, yes, there was color TV. I don't know if it was color TV when I was born or not. But anyway, I watched one sometime. Anyway, but there was no such thing as the internet when I got saved. And it wasn't till some years later, I think, Al Gore invented that. But there was no such thing as the internet. And so word of mouth or TV. Very few people, churches or anybody else, got on TV because it was so expensive. So you didn't hear a lot. It had to be some, you know, how many of you heard Charles Stanley? Now, everybody's heard of Charles Stanley. And there were a few preachers, Chuck Smith, and others that were on there. Chuck Swindoll, anybody ever heard Chuck Swindoll? Okay, I'm probably showing my age now. But how many of you ever heard of Stephen Furtick? Nobody? A few of you? Okay, I was figuring I was going to get to some of the younger people here who might know. But back then, you had to listen to radio or watch TV. That was before there were entire Christian networks. And it cost money to get on the radio, and it cost money to get on TV. There were people on the radio. I remember this, having a conversation. I'm going to preach sometime later. I don't know. But I remember having a conversation with this pastor once. And he was talking about a preacher in his church, two or three preachers in his church. And he asked about how many was in ours. And so he said, I tell you what, he said, here's what I do. He said, to keep them from preaching in my church, he said, I pay for their airtime on the radio and just let them to preach on the radio, and they seem to be satisfied. And I'm sitting here thinking, yeah, that'd be the great thing to do. People that you wouldn't even have standing in your church preaching, you're going to pay to put them on the radio, so who knows who can hear them? Are you tracking with me? That was the way it was back then. Today, you can go on to any number of social media platforms, of which Harvest is on many of those social media platforms, and you can be on there free. So we're on YouTube, we're on Facebook, we don't pay to be on either one of those. And I don't know, could be 10 people, could be a half a million people watch every Sunday. Probably closer to 10. And but my mom's one of them. She may be the only one. I don't know. Hi, Mom. Good to see you. Or not see you. But anyway, I'll see you later. So that platform. So young people have always wanted to chart their own course. I wanted to chart my own course when I was young. Except charting my course had nothing to do with religion or Christianity. Charting my course had all to do with just sin. But that was how I charted my course. But other people need to chart their course in different ways because they need to feel like I have a place in this world. I have something to offer to this world. So the struggle that we often see is with a younger generation, and you're not the only ones, listen, I'm going to hit everybody here. With a younger generation of trying to discover, who am I, what do I believe, why do I believe what I believe? For many of those younger people, there are parents. There are parents who go to church and say, we follow Jesus, but their life says anything but that. So it's like, okay, I mean, I hear your doctrine, but I don't see it lived out in your life, so therefore, Christianity is not real. The problem is, Christianity, what Jesus did is very real. It's not the problem. That's not the problem. The problem is with the parents or the older people who just have not discovered a relationship with Him or who haven't learned to walk with Him, but just because you don't see a relationship there doesn't mean that God is not real. Does that make sense? So, young people created Facebook. And then old people took it over. It's like, you know, the old people were all fascinated. Like, what? You mean I can? And so then it started, you know, like, oh, get on there and friended everybody. And young people, like, rolled their eyes, like, oh, my lands. So they went over and created Instagram. And then all the old people said, what? And the old people started running to Instagram. And the kids said, oh, my lands, will they not leave us alone? So China created TikTok. And all the young kids now have run over to TikTok. And the parents don't know how to get on it. It is so easy when in my mind I've sat back like how, when I was younger, when there was no internet, where there were, how does the departing from the faith become so widespread when, how, I mean, a few preachers on the radio. But now it makes sense. Because right now, you can teach anything. You can say anything. And you can do it on Facebook, or you can do it on YouTube, or you can do it on TikTok, or you can do it on Instagram. You can do it, and you've got an audience. And you don't have to pay. And all you have to do is find those people who are vulnerable. Let me tell you who's vulnerable. Every single person in the church who has not been in the Word of God through their life. And when I say in the Word of God, I'm not talking about a Sunday morning message. I'm talking about you have been digging in the Word day in, day out, every day of your life. You say, bud, nobody has time for that. Yeah, I do it every day. Yeah, but you get paid to do it. You're a preacher. No, I've got a daytime job. A couple of them, actually. No different than you. For some of you, you are there. For others of you, it's just a priority difference. But unless you're in the Word of God, you are vulnerable. And unless you submit yourself to the Word of God, you're vulnerable. Are you tracking with me? So I have just, over the last few weeks, just prayed and prayed and crying out to God for you know, what do I want? I don't want anybody under my watch to be deceived by the enemy. I've already seen it happen. I was asking Carla the other day about somebody who used to come to church here, and I said, have you seen them lately? And she said, no. And then I said, I haven't either. And you know, as much as I would like to come in and sit down, and I'd like to sit in all your living rooms and visit with you, even though I know most of you wouldn't want me to, you know, I'd eat too much. Anyway, I can't. As much as I would like to stand out here and have a conversation with each of you, I can't. There's just no, you don't have the time, I don't have the time. But I don't want anybody deceived on my watch. I can't stop it, just like that person, gone off to follow some kind of a crazy teaching. They're everywhere out there. And it used to be just out in the cities. It's here in our area, crazy teachings, doctrines of demons. And so this whole series is going to be a series that I am asking God to just drive the Word of God, to drive His Word into our hearts. because it's the Word of God, the only thing that will keep us. A knowledge of the Word of God and a relationship with the Word of God, the only thing that will keep us from following seducing spirits and doctrines of demons. Are you with me? So will you join with me in prayer that through this series, whether it's 6 weeks or 6 years, that we will open our hearts and allow the Holy Spirit to teach us and reveal the Word of God to us, to enlighten us, to give us revelation of the Word. I love Paul's prayer for the Ephesians. God, I pray that you give them a spirit of revelation. Give them a spirit of wisdom and revelation that they may know you more. And that's my heart, and that's the heart, I believe, of God. And so I want all of us to be able to dive in and have the truth. John was the apostle of love. John was the apostle of truth. And as we journey through this book, we're going to find Jesus, the real Jesus. Look with me in John chapter 1. That was the introduction. But I'm not going to try to preach all this. This will be a briefer message today because I wanted to be able to get the introduction. I wanted to be able to share with you why I feel compelled to go this way. We're living in the last days. We need to know the truth. Am I right? John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Now look down at verse 14. The Word, remember, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. Verse 14, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory and the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John, in this amazing way, John has walked with Jesus for 3.5 years, probably almost every day of his life has been spent with Jesus in one fashion or another. John was one of the three that Jesus spent more time with than all of them, Peter, James, and John. So you had 70, you had hundreds of disciples, really. You boiled that down to the 12 who would be the apostles. And out of those, Peter, James, and John was there for some really special occasions. Just many times they were there, the Transfiguration and other times, when it was just them. And they saw things that the others did not see. They heard things that the others did not hear. And John, as he sits down to write, he's writing so that he can expose to us who Jesus really is. He's writing from experience, and he's writing from revelation. He's writing from the 3.5 years that he spent with Jesus, listening to Jesus teach, watching the miracles, watching Jesus cleanse lepers, opening blind eyes, making people that could not hear, hear, people who could not talk, talk. The cripples were walking. He was doing all of these things, and he saw it. But he also heard the teaching. And John comes to a realization that all of us are going to have to come to. And that realization is, John comes to, this is what he says. In the beginning was the Word, the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He is reaching one hand into heaven. the other hand into the earth, and he's saying, let me tell you who Jesus really is. I'm going to let you see his heavenly person, and I'm going to bring you to the point to see the earthly person. And that's what we have. So John says, in the beginning, what's that say? In the beginning was the Word. In the beginning was the Word. When is the beginning? The beginning, if you go back to Genesis 1:1, the beginning is Genesis. Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. God created. So the beginning that he's talking about is not the beginning of Jesus, not the beginning of God, for God has no beginning. He is eternal. He is outside of time. So when he says in the beginning, he's talking about the beginning that we read about in the book of Genesis, the beginning of creation, the beginning of time. Heaven is not measured by time. Heaven is not measured by calendars. Heaven is not measured that way. We don't get a clock there. Don't need it. Why? Because there is no time. We are in a time zone, so to speak. Heaven is outside of the time zone. Heaven is outside of time. So Jesus comes from eternity where there is no time, where he was the Word. Was his name Jesus then? No. He was the Word. He became Jesus when he came into this world. So, in the beginning was the Word. We've already partially established, and we will continue to do that, but we've already partially established that when he says that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, that he's talking about Jesus. And there are other passages, and I'll read a few in a minute, but there are other passages that make it plain who Jesus is, that that is talking about Jesus. In the beginning was the Word, which means that the Word preexisted creation. Are you tracking with me? When he says, in the beginning was the Word, he didn't say, in the beginning became the Word. He didn't even say, in the beginning God created the Word. He said, in the beginning was the Word, which means he pre-existed. He was over here in eternity before creation. So if you look at Jesus, as his eternal person, and then the expression of God in the earth. In the Old Testament, God expressed himself through prophets. He expressed himself through even tablets, as he spoke to Moses and God wrote on the tablet. In the New Testament, he's expressed himself through Jesus. Jesus is the Word, that expression of God in the earth today. Pre-existing creation, meaning he was there before. If you draw a circle, and a circle represents eternity, there is no end and there is no beginning. If you draw a circle, you take one little portion of that circle and draw two lines, and you put in there Jesus. And in that space is God incarnate, God coming into this world, manifesting himself in human flesh so that he could die for our sin. That is who he was when he came. But he was not known as Jesus before that. He was known as what? The Word. Philippians 2:6. Who being in the very nature God, did not consider, who being in the very nature what? who being in the very nature, God, who being in the very nature, what's he saying? In the very nature, God, who, he's God. Okay, so he goes on to say, did not consider equality, so he's equal, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. How many of us, if we had that advantage, would most definitely use it, right? But he knew that for our sakes, he could not use it. So he comes into this world, does not take advantage of that. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking on the very nature of a servant and being made in, what's that say? Being made in human likeness. That he pre-existed the human likeness. He pre-existed creation, which means he's always been. There's never been a time when he was not. Being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on the cross. Why? Because light came into darkness, and we had all been affected by darkness and sin. And Jesus knew to bring us back into relationship, that was going to have to happen. Hebrews chapter 2, 14. Since the children have flesh and blood, that's talking about us. Since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity so that by his death he might break the power of him who holds the power of death, that is the devil. And in Colossians 2:9, for in Christ all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form. There's tons more scriptures than just those that tell us who Jesus is. John says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. So, okay, he was with God. That just tells us he was there. He was present. But then he says, what? And the Word was God. John just said something huge for all of us. Jesus, to the contrary of many who would say, Jesus, okay, he was a good man. You know what? He was a good teacher. He was a good prophet. He was a good rabbi. But he was so much more. And John tells us he was God. So what is this teaching? We're getting a glimpse of the Trinity here. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. How can he be with God and was God? This is where one of the places we see the doctrine of the Trinity. If you go back into Genesis, you hear him say, God created, he says, let us create man in our image. Who is the us? Who is that let us create man? It's the Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. God the Father, God the Word, God the Holy Spirit. You with me? So we get a picture there that Jesus is God. The Jehovah's Witness will tell you that he is an angel. I'm sorry for calling names, but I'm sick of watching people get deceived. But they will tell you that he was an angel and that he was a God. Great angel, a God. So their version says that in this one thing, their version says that he was a God, not God, but a God. And theirs is the only one that says that. When you decide what your doctrine is before you get to Scripture, you have to make the Scripture fit your doctrine. which means you got to work that. And you're trying to force it into a place that it does not belong. And that's what happened. The Mormons will tell you that Jesus is a created being, and that he was created the brother of Lucifer, and that he and Lucifer existed together, and yet Lucifer rebelled. And that not only is God God, but God, the God we know, the God of the Bible, was actually created by another God. If we don't know what we believe, we're vulnerable. And I don't want you to believe it because I say it. Because if you just believe it because I say it, then you're just going to go believe something anybody says. I'm asking you to take a deep dive into Scripture. Here's what some of you need to do. You need to go on to a reputable Christian education site, maybe even a Christian college, and start taking classes. You say, "Bud, that's a little overkill. Ain't that just for preachers?" If we had all done that years ago, we may not be where we are right now. And I'm not saying, listen, that's not a give all. There are enough things on the internet, if you know what to look for, to get equivalent to a college education, a Bible college education. Because that's not an all in all. There are some Bible colleges that are just as liberal and believe in nothing. Entire denominations going woke and believe in nothing that the Scripture teaches anymore. In the last days, people would depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of demons. We see it happen all around us. Some of you may be some of those that the enemy is flirting with. Get to know why you believe what you believe. John is teaching us who the real Jesus is. You ever, what was that show? Was it Truth or Dare or something, where it said, "Will the real somebody please stand up?" You remember that? Y'all don't remember that. Y'all remember that? Y'all are too young for that. See, my old people like me in here. Come on, somebody's got a memory. What was it called? Okay, Rhonda raised her hand, and then I said, "What's it called?" And she just ducked her head. Anyway, there was some show, and it would say there would be three different people on there. They all pretended to be the one person. And so the panel would ask questions, and they would all give these answers. And that was it. Thank you. I thought somebody found it on TV and was getting ready to play the show or something. Oh, you never know what's going to happen around here. Will the real Jesus please stand up? There are so many Jesuses in this world. We've created our own. We've made him to be what we want him to be. Lego Jesus. We get a box. And what? We get all the Legos. And we start putting together. It's like, okay, I want a Jesus that will do this. So we add that to the Lego. And then I want a Jesus that will do this. And so we add it to the Lego. And well, my Jesus, I want Jesus this way. And so we add another one. And each of us create a Jesus in our heart and our mind that represents what we need, not who he is. We have to let him be who he is. Not a Lego Jesus with a magic wand that we call on that says, I want this, I want this, I want this. But the real Jesus. And when we find out who he is, he will change the world through us. John sits down and he begins to reveal to us who this real Jesus is. I think part of the reason John is writing, because he wants us to make a decision. He wants us to make a decision. Are we going to be a fan, or are we going to be a follower? So you can be a fan of Jesus and just kind of cheer him on. Yeah, Jesus, I love you. Go get him. Go get him. Yay. How many of you have ever seen an Elvis Presley concert? Two of you, okay. Not many old people in this church. Does anybody know who Elvis is? Okay. So if you watch an Elvis concert, there are girls on there. Would the four of you stand up with me just for a second? Okay, stand right over here and look at them. Look at those people. Now, Elvis would be up here singing. And what you all would be doing is you got to act like you're crying, and you got to act like you're about ready to pass out. Can y'all do that? Sure. Give it the best you got. Go for it. Okay, I'm sorry. Y'all can be seated. Great job, though. I mean, thank you. How can I cry over Elvis? I don't know who the heck he is. But if you saw any of those, they would be crying and so emotional, and some of them would just fall out over the king. Not the real king, though. And John is telling us, we worship the real king. The real one. And he is worthy of our worship. He's worthy of our praise. He's more than worthy of it. That's what fans do. But Jesus didn't say, I came because I want people to like me. I came to build a new religion because the 1,000 you've got already is not good enough. I came into darkness. Light came into darkness to save us. And the darkness could not overcome it. As hard as Satan has tried, he has not been able to overcome it. Christianity has thrived for over 2,000 years. And it started on the back of 12 men filled with the Spirit of God, with the gospel in hand and the power in the name of Jesus to see demons expelled. Been a few times in my life that I've sat down with demon-possessed people, and I have laid hands on them and prayed over them and cast demons out and watched what God did in the change and the difference. And it was in the name of Jesus. I could have tried it in the name of Buddha, but there's no power in that name. I could have tried it in the name of Muhammad, but there's no power in that name. The power to deliver people from darkness is in the name of Jesus. And what God is calling us all to is to be followers, true disciples, followers of Jesus. Which means as I'm following him, it doesn't matter. If it's times of celebration, I celebrate. If it's times of weeping, I weep. If it's times of struggle, I struggle. If it's times of strength, I'm in strength. I follow him wherever he leads me. That's following, not being a fan. And I'm asking God in this series, I'm just tired of watching people walk away. My heart's tired. I'm tired of watching people come to Jesus and then they're off following some wacko doctrine. I'm tired of people sitting here and then seducing spirits come in and seduce them away to insanity. I'm just tired. I'm not tired of doing what I do. But I'm tired of watching these kids walk. And so I am praying that during this series, two things happen. Number one, you get to know Jesus better than you have ever known him in your life for who he really is. And secondly, that you choose to become a follower. And then you put being a fan aside. Some of you are struggling to win your kids. Let me tell you how to win your kids to the Lord. Become a follower of Jesus. See, they see the fan at home. They see the fan at home that uses the same language as everybody else. And I'm going to tell you something. Anybody that knows me, I am a grace preacher. I'm not a rule preacher. But here's what I know. When Jesus comes into our life, he changes us from the inside out. Are we going to make mistakes? Yes. But it shouldn't be consistent. And so our kids hear us using the same language everybody else does, the foul language everybody else, doing the foul things that everybody else does. And then we say we love Jesus. No, we're a fan of Jesus. And fans of Jesus don't turn the hearts of a young world to him. That's where my heart is at. I want to see them come to him and I want to see them stay. And it's the truth in him. As a church, what if we all became followers? Would that be amazing? If we were all followers, we would never have a Sunday that I stand in the lobby and watch people come running through the door to the kids' classes because they just got called in because the people that were supposed to be there didn't show up or called in late to say, I'm not going to make it. Say, bud, what are you angry about? I'm angry. I am so angry at the enemy. I am so angry at the devil watching him destroy lives. And sometimes with all the authority and the power that we've been given, we squander it. And then people look and say, they're just like everybody else. Do you know what a younger, I'm trying to stop, guys, just give me another segment. Do you know what a younger generation sometimes, I think, looks at our generation and says, how can I believe what you've taught because it didn't change your life? I think that's one of the avenues that the enemy uses to lead people off into seducing spirits and doctrines of demons, because they look into the lives of people that are adults, older people, and they say, I don't see how there was a positive effect in your life having Jesus. Listen to me, it's not Jesus. Just because maybe your parents or maybe people chose to be fans instead of followers, it's not his fault. He is still who he says he is. And he still has all the power that he says he has. And he will give it to whoever will follow him. Let's stand and let's sing. And if you need to come up here and pray today, and you just want to kneel here and say, today I'm choosing no more fan, follower. I'm becoming a follower today. By all means, come while we sing.